You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour Manager Watch Series. This is the Southampton Football Club edition. In early summer, they got rid of Claude Puel and brought in Pellegrino from Alaves in Spain. He took that very small side to the Copa del Rey final against Barcelona. Really great game. Just, I think they lost 3-1. Messi was on fire that game. So, fair play to him. Dom, what you know about the manager? Let's tell the listeners.
Well, he overachieved massively with Alaves last season. I didn't even know where that was coming from, really, because like they did extremely well in the league, you could argue, because if they're facing teams with absolutely humongous budgets, even after Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Real Madrid, you have Valencia, you have Sevilla, you've got big teams who have big budgets, but a bit like Eibar were a few years ago. They have zero budget, but their manager was so good and the players are such a good close-knit side that they overachieved massively. And I think it's a very, very shrewd appointment from Southampton. You can't really argue with it because Southampton have a very good track record of appointing foreign managers.
Yeah, they always pick the right one, it seems. And this guy,
you could argue with Claude Puel, people would argue, maybe only Southampton fans probably, that it wasn't a very good appointment, but on paper it is, because
they should have won that League Cup final.
Yeah, Gabbiadini, obviously the goal wasn't offside, and yeah, like, he did really well. I know the football wasn't what Southampton fans expect, and there's certain teams who do expect a certain style of football to be played, sort of like a smaller version of Arsenal. Like, they didn't want Simeone to come in because he would have been playing this more pragmatic defensive style of football. I think it's a very good appointment, and I think you can't really argue because Southampton, as I said, have a very good track record of appointing managers. You've got Pochettino who's now at Spurs, you have Koeman, who obviously is doing well now at Everton. You had Puel, who did extremely well with Nice the season before, and he did pretty well last season. I mean, top half finish and a League Cup final, sorry. And now Pellegrino, and you can't really argue that he could do any worse.
This guy was some player. Only played a handful of games for Liverpool, but at Valencia, two La Ligas, UEFA Cup, sadly was a runner-up in the Champions League on two occasions, and won La Liga with Barcelona. They've got a player. Hopefully he'll be a good manager for Southampton. Dom, he hasn't brought many players in this summer. There's a guy from Juve that you like, Mario Lemina, 15 mil. What do you think?
Well, I think in today's market, it's a very good transfer. He's a very, very good creative midfielder.
Did he play for Juve a lot?
He played like every so often. He was obviously a squad player because you've got the likes of Kwadwo Asamoah, you've got Marquisio. Even if you look in midfield, there is obviously Dybala, but he played further forward. He often dropped into the number 10 role. And
the last midfielder to leave Juve cost a lot more than him, Paul Pogba. So that's a snip. It's an absolute snip.
Yeah, I mean, Lemina, he was never going to get into the starting 11, but he's a very, very good creative midfielder. I don't think for 15 million in today's market, I know I keep saying in today's market, but that's the way you got to look at it, you can really argue, because if Gylfi Sigurdsson's going for 50 million and he's only, what, he's like 28, 29?
Yeah.
So Lemina's a very young up-and-coming midfielder. I think Southampton is a good club for him to grow at. He'll probably end up being at Liverpool next season, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Do you know who I see having a sort of Dimitri Payet season? Sofiane Boufal came into Southampton, big money last season, 17 mil. It was very stop-start. He played a few games and I saw, you know when you just spot a little bit of talent in a player? And I saw it in him. I think he's got a lot in his locker. I want him playing more this season. Him behind Gabbiadini, I think could be a great partnership. They've just got to keep them both fit until January, when they probably sell them. Sorry, Southampton fans. Apparently, they're not a selling club anymore. Should we mention VVD?
Then what are you then?
This is what they said. That the Southampton chairman was like, we are not a selling club anymore. And this is why they're holding out so much on Virgil van Dijk. We've got to mention it, because it's been the transfer talk of the season until Neymar came along. Why hasn't he gone yet? Because he wants to go. Why are they keeping their fingernails so far into Virgil van Dijk? Is it because they just want more money and they know they can get it at the end of the transfer window?
I think they know that, especially in this transfer window, which has been just absolutely ridiculous when it's come to transfer prices, that they know a club will pay 60 mil for him. But I've been surprised that Liverpool have been the only club who's really been linked with him. And if they didn't get like reported to the FA for that tapping up, I think it would be a Liverpool player by now. And I think what annoys me with this situation is, like, Liverpool fans argue that, oh, Virgil van Dijk, Southampton should just let him come to us because we're a step up, but won't let Coutinho go to Barcelona. It literally is the same argument. Like, I know it's a Southampton podcast, but it's just sort of like domino effect of transfers. The Neymar transfer is actually a massive domino effect because it means Coutinho goes to Barca or Ousmane Dembele, who knows. Then that means Virgil van Dijk will go to Liverpool. And it's Liverpool are the team you probably need him most. Next, probably Arsenal. Because if you look at the Liverpool result from the weekend, like, the defending on all three goals is a joke.
Yeah, I agree. Coming back to Southampton, though. So what percentage of you think Virgil van Dijk is going to be a Southampton player?
I'm going to say 35.
You think there's 35% that will stay at Southampton?
Yeah, I really do. I really do think that he might necessarily go, not because no one reaches evaluation, because the closer it gets to the end of the transfer window, the higher that price is going to go. It's not just because they know you can get more, it's because they have shorter time to get someone in.
There's a player I really like who's probably going to take Virgil van Dijk's position if he leaves, Dom. Jack Stevens. Good young player. Makes a few mistakes like he did at the end of last season, but I like him a lot. The only guy who I really don't like in that Southampton back five is Yoshida. I think if you're going to get the money for Virgil van Dijk, I think you need to bring in a replacement for him. He's Championship at best. He's always been a sub, and now because of this Virgil van Dijk debacle, he's playing. I don't think you can trust him. I really don't think you can trust him. A guy I really like who plays in their midfield, James Ward-Prowse. I have had my eye on this kid for a long, long time, Dom. He's going to make it into that England World Cup squad. I've got no doubt about it.
Oh, definitely there's a doubt that he's going to be in the England World Cup squad, because he's one of the most up-and-coming central midfielders. Him and Barkley, I know he's a bit younger, but him, Barkley and Will Hughes sort of all came through at the same time, and you never really knew which one was going to explode onto the scene and make it. Like, everyone thought it was going to be Barkley. I think everyone sort of thought Barkley because he's a more explosive attacking midfielder, but for actually doing their job, I think you can't look past Ward-Prowse. He's unbelievable. Like,
his technique is on another level. Like, his dead ball ability. People say Gylfi Sigurdsson's the best dead ball taker. Ward-Prowse is right up there. He loves a whip on his crosses. Great right foot. Plays centre mid, though. I think he could make a brilliant right winger. I just think his crossing's too good to be in the centre midfield. I like him, though. He's going to the World Cup.
Yeah, I think the argument from a winger's perspective, he's just not quick enough.
Yeah, I know.
He's not slow by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's past that era now where you can be a slow right mid, like a David Beckham type right mid. He's basically a David Beckham type right mid, where he's not necessarily quick, but the whip, as you love, the swerve and the whirl on the ball,
yeah,
going into the box for Gabbiadini to head in, is second to none, really. And yeah, I think Ward-Prowse, I know he's had his breakthrough season, but this could be a season where he really, really kicks on and becomes a staple in England midfield. Like, he could have a midfield three of Eric Dier holding, with him up ahead of Dier and Ali just in behind Harry Kane.
I think that's really promising, mate. Because someone needs to be Eric Dier's partner in this World Cup. We saw against Scotland before the season started, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain play there. Why people keep thinking, why he thinks he's a central midfielder? Who is making that decision about Ox playing centre mid? Is it the manager? Is it Arsene Wenger? Is it not Roy Hodgson, thank God. Gareth Southgate. You're just not a centre mid. And that's the reason I think Ward-Prowse may play next to Dier in the World Cup.
I would, because the only position I really think Oxlade-Chamberlain's actually properly good at is right wing back. Because I don't necessarily think he's a properly good right winger.
No.
But right wing back, I think there is a position there in football nowadays which is suited to him to a T. I mean, I know it's talking about other clubs again, but also Chamberlain, we don't even know where he's going to end up because he's been linked with Liverpool and Chelsea.
Well, he was a Southampton player.
Yeah, he was a Southampton player, so there is the little tie in there. But yeah, I think Ward-Prowse, realistically, if we're playing a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1, he should be in that midfield. I don't really see who else can come in. Are you going to mention that to me? Jack Wilshere? Like, if we're playing a 4-2-3-1, he should be the person who's the more advanced deep-line midfielder.
I think something you've got to say about Southampton is one of the reasons I believe they have stuck around in the Premier League after losing a lot of their great players to Liverpool, mostly, is that they play quite expansive football. They don't try and sit back. Last season, Borough, Sunderland, Watford, Burnley, Palace, Stoke, West Brom. There are reasons why these teams come below Southampton. It's because they don't try as hard to attack like Southampton. Saying all that, they did draw 0-0 in their first game of the season. But they do try and go for teams. They don't sit back. They don't wait. And they'll go, we'd rather it be 2-2 than 0-0. Granted, it was a 0-0 draw. But that's the reason they stay in the Premier League. And it's another reason why I think they'll stay in the Premier League this year. Even with the fact I think they'll lose Bertrand. I think he might go to Man City. I think they'll lose Virgil van Dijk. But you know what? I think they'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, because Man City are quite short on fullbacks at the moment. So they might need to get another one in. You know, they only need to buy 4 wingbacks each transfer window now. So
how much do you think Bertrand would cost? At least 40.
If Walker's worth 50, Bertrand's got to be at least worth 40. Because one, he's English. And two, he's English.
Right, Southampton finished 8th behind Everton last year, Dom. They were 15 points behind Everton, though, which is, that's not very good, but they did make the League Cup final. Where do you think the Saints will end up at the end of the Premier League season?
The thing is, right?
Go on.
It really doesn't matter, because they're not going to go down. So they could literally finish anywhere, for me, from 17th to 8th.
They're not going to finish 17th.
No, but I think 10th, because I hope they do what they did last season and look for cut runs again or go for a cut run again, because what else can they achieve? You achieve 40 points and what happens after that? I remember we were like this for a while. We were just achieving mid-table mediocrity and we got to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, I think 3 years in a row. It's not really a cup run, but it still gave you something to be excited about in the season. I think, yeah, they can't really aim for Everton's heights because Everton just has such a stronger squad. There is no reason why they can't finish 8th like last season. Pretty much have an identical season, but I think they're going to finish 10th.
I think it's a worry for teams like this if they don't go for cup runs, because their fans buy season tickets, but by the 25th game of the season, their sort of season's completely over, which is such a disappointment. And that's why you've just got to aim high in the cups, because there's a group of 6 teams, Spurs, Chelsea, City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester United, they're so obsessed with getting in the top 4 or going for the title that maybe they're going to forget about the cups. I don't know. So I don't think Southampton are going to finish 8th again. I think they're going to drop down a few. I think they're going to finish 11th. What do you think about that?
I think, although Southampton fans are going to want the team to be more ambitious and go further ahead, I don't see how you could complain about that. Let's say they got, I don't know, to the semi-finals of the FA Cup and finished 11th. I don't think you can really argue with that. And I think for Southampton fans, it's not about where they finish, it's about how they finish there.
Yeah, because that's what they were really upset about with Claude Puel. They weren't unhappy with finishing 8th or unhappy finishing runners-up in the cup final. Well, of course they were after that offside decision. But it was about the football that they were playing. They were a bit bored by the end. Hopefully, their new manager, Pellegrino, can bring attacking football back to the South Shores. So, Dom, you think 8th, I think 11th. That's been the Southampton Podcast Manager Watch. We will wait and see where they finish. Up next, after Southampton, is Bournemouth, who somehow managed to finish 9th.
Yeah, we're staying on the South Coast, guys. We're staying on the South Coast, looking at Bournemouth. And yeah, can they kick on? We'll have a look.
That's been Dom Betts. I've been Alex Mearns. This has been the Football Hour. Thank you for listening.